put the a link to your new project in the show notes. So people who are listening to this later on the Hacker Public Radio or through the streams, then they can also look at the project and see what you can help out.
Really great. Thank you so much for the invitation, and thank you so much, Nido.
You're welcome. I'm happy you were here, and I'm happy you had the time between all the lightning work to tell us what was happening here.
Yeah, it was just possible today. The other days wasn't possible because we were very busy doing lights over the whole terrain. So thanks again for the invitation, and I hope a lot of people that are on the terrain now will join the party tonight at 9 o'clock, starting in track 1.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. Zo.
Ja, awesome sauce.
Cool. Lachen. Wel lastig hoor, om het vol te krijgen.
Ja, hè?
Op een gegeven moment zit 20 minuten. Ik denk, oh my god.
Kijk, ja, 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 weet je, ik zat bij 2 minuten. Dat ik al wel kut. We zitten nu al op het volgende punt van mijn lijstje.
Ja. Ja. Kijk, ik zeg wel eens, als Lulle Pudding was, ben ik Dr. Oetke. Maar nog wat zinnigs zeggen, is dan ook wel lastig.
Ja, precies. Ja, nee, maar het ging wel goed. Het ging echt goed, denk ik.
Dankjewel, man. Dankjewel voor de techniek.
Oké, ik ben zover.
Maar dat is dan hoofdzakelijk ijs. Ga nog even met het ding mee.
Ik heb even het nieuws. Ik heb hier een jingle voor mijn show.
Oh.
Dank je.
Ik denk dat een zwaaier daarbovenin niet goed is voor die dingen. Ik ben bereid het eerst naar Antwerpen. Daar, als je die amtv.be eerst gewoon wel zo opent. Dan zie je dat het wat door de dingen aan.
Die tent gaat een beetje tekeer, hè?
Want je, als je zo echt goed luistert, dan hoor je die flappen klapperen, klapperen, klapperen. En de tent zo.
Ja, het is vrij heftig, dit.
Ja. Je ziet een heel mooi wolkje langskomen. Onder de schaduw, net boven de tent. Ja.
je wel even mee.
Hm?
Gaat je wel even mee.
Ja, is goed.
Yeah, and good morning to the early morning radio show. Yeah, and good morning to the early morning radio show. Andreas, I see you're not quite awake just yet.
No, it was late yesterday, this morning. It was late yesterday morning. It was late the day before that. And this is the time of day that I get very sleepy.
So a notice, yeah. Hey, but good to be here. There was this interesting news article today. That the United States has warned people abroad for them to be careful for a potential threat.
Yeah.
And you guess where this was coming from?
Yeah, of course. People are Big Brother is listening.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought that was kind of funny that they all of a sudden said like, well, we wiretapped the phone call and they say, hey, look, this is what we caught.
Yeah.
We can't say where it will happen, how it will happen, what is going down.
What the people said they were saying, what they were saying that triggered that this announcement.
Exactly. So it was kind of funny and no arrests have been made. So it's interesting.
It's a non-event, probably, and then it will. Usually, those non-events are used to mask something else, perhaps.
Yeah, it's kind of easy to understand what will be masked here, but it's amazing.
Yeah.
Hey, I have to make an announcement because people will talk about a new hacking plan. In room 101 at 5 o'clock, and this is just added as a workshop. He'll tell about it on television tonight as well, but for now, if you want to join that, go to room 101 at 5 o'clock. Kind of stupid for me to say, of course, if our show will last for 2 hours, but hey, there we go. And one of the interesting things is follow the money is part of the lawmaking process. You will find out that some responses that were sent to the Department of to the Department of Security and Justice were interesting, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
The Nationale Postcode Loterij, a lottery.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, is in favor of this whole new hacking law.
Why are those people involved? It's as if they need people to support. Let's see if we can call some buddies and just get some votes in.
Yeah, room 101, and then people at 5 o'clock can hear all about it. I would definitely do that.
Yeah, sounds very interesting.
Yeah, we also are going to make contact to Paraguay through Skype, if it all works, where Carol Fassot... will explain a little bit of a project he's working on. Unfortunately, I have not been able to reach him just yet, but you never know.
Okay.
And having said that, I think it's time for a little bit more Gogo Bordello.
Dat was mijn fade ook precies.
Ja.
Goed. Die fade was ook precies. Tak.
Ja.
Heb je trouwens gezien dat de mannen die het Volkswagen lek gevonden hebben alsnog gaan presenteren?
Nee.
Dat stond vanmorgen op Slashdot of op het nu. Want ze... ik weet niet, ik heb het niet kunnen lezen. En wat was er vanmorgen nog meer? Er was nog iets. Iets heel grappigs. Xerox printerscanners, van die grote dure die op kantoren staan. De scanner is slordig. Die maakt er 6 maakt die 8 van en 1 maakt die 7 van.
Lekker.
Dus als je een document scant en weer uitprint, dan ziet je, als je een tekening doet, dan ziet je gebouw er ineens heel anders uit. Dan past er niet meer en zo.
Leuk als je een factuurtje maakt.
Ja, ook dat. Je moet niet een factuurtje scannen en weer afdrukken. Dan doet de boekhouding hele andere dingen dan...
Oh, hi.
Hoi.
Welkom.
Dankjewel.
Hallo.
Hallo.
Nu zeg ik... bizar.
Ja. Sapper, zou je mij mijn iPad willen geven? Want volgens mij heb ik dat linkje nog openstaan. Die ligt in dat zwarte zakje naast de jodenkoeken. Jo.
De master.
Ja.
We moeten dat nog even aankondigen weer eens een keertje. En dan van die masten.
Ja, maar er zijn wel meer lekker hoor.
Wat zeg je?
En dan zie je wel een lekker aan.
Maar wij hebben de hoogste. Ik heb het artikel.
Hey. And you're still listening to OMOB 104.7 FM. Total chaos in the studio because Emmanuel Goldstein arrived, and well, you know, that's basically chaos and mayhem happening all over again. Xopper is here, so it's a mess, to be honest. So I'm trying to make contact first to Gorinchem, where Ilya is, and he has a very shocking story to tell. Until that succeeds, I'm going to play a little bit more Gogo Bordello called Break the Spell.
Slaan!
Wat zeg je?
Slaan!
Gogo Bordello!
Ja. Dit is zo de Gogo Bordello show met een beetje security theater erbij.
Ja, nu ga ik halen.
Ja.
En die is van dingetje, van Hek 42, weet je wel, met die baard die achter de bar staat.
Oh, ja. Brenno, als we straks wat vulling nodig hebben, heb ik dus die twee verhalen. Als we nog wat te praten wilt hebben, heb ik dus die twee, dus ik heb van...
Ja.
Doe nog even één liedje door.
Oké. Okay.
Breno, are you ready to
do another one? Sure.
Okay, let's do it. Or do you want me to start something for you?
Too late.
Oh, ik haat dit soort nummers.
Ja?
Af, nee, af, nee, af, nee. Nou, nu het eindigt hij. Wacht even, een seconde.
50 seconden.
Hij gaat gewoon weer beginnen.
50 seconden.
Uitveden, ja. Nee, de grap is bij dat soort nummers het goed te doen. Niet veden. Where the purple? The purple start with it.
Oh, that. I promise. Oh. Apparently, it's kind of hard to make connections to the outside world, so no of the two phone calls succeeded. I just saw a very interesting story at a post online that Menno Stam, a Dutch comedian, placed a joke online about gay pride.
Okay.
He did a tweet. And the Amsterdam police forced him to remove that.
Hmm. And what did he say?
And he said, oh, that's kind of hard to translate, I guess. So I'll say it in Dutch. Zo, straks lekker naar Hekje Artis, homo's kijken of nee, aapjes. Haal die twee nog altijd door elkaar. Echt nodig hoor, zo'n Hekje Grey Pride.
Hmm.
It's not as stylish, but...
No, it's quite rude, but... But yeah, it's not nothing. It could be.
Yeah, and then he wrote, "Sorry, people. I thought I make a joke for once, but just removed a tweet ordered by the police. Have a nice day. Hashtag gay pride.
By the police, of all people.
Police of Amsterdam.
Yeah, well, so, it's probably a little rude style, not very stylish.
Yeah, but and to the post online, he says, like, I thought it was so intimidating and I was impressed that I removed the tweet. For that 500 followers, I don't want any misery. I wanted to go with my children to artists, and I didn't want to discuss this with police. I know it's artists, by the way, with my children. We are looking at snakes, definitely not apes. Just that you know it.
Okay, yeah, but for the people who don't know what Artis is, that's the Amsterdam Zoo.
Yeah, indeed, it's the Amsterdam Zoo. But it's a party of tolerance, that's pretty interesting. The police of Amsterdam cannot confirm or deny the story, so that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And, I don't know what to say. You had an interesting story yourself as well.
Yeah, we've all heard about the security researcher from the Netherlands, and I think with some colleagues from other universities or organizations, had an English judge ban him from giving a speech at Usenix about vulnerabilities in the locking systems for expensive Volkswagen-based cars.
Yep.
The latest news is that they are going to do the speech.
Really?
Yeah, and I haven't been able to find why they're going to do it, but probably because somebody is helping them legally / financially, I'm assuming.
Yeah, and it's very bad that Volkswagen responded in this way.
And if I read comments here and there correctly, it's a problem that's been known for at least a couple of years, and indications are that they might even be already been in active use by people who want to steal cars.
Yeah. Since we're the show of the failed phone calls, we might try and get Professor Bart Jacobs on the line.
Wow. Yeah, we could do that. But given the circumstances and the success with previous calls, I'm not giving you...
No, I'm not that optimistic myself as well, so... meantime... Nido has arrived. Nido is going to be making this podcast even more interesting, because Nido is on the early morning radio show making a mini edition of Hacker Public Radio at 5 p.m. or maybe at the half past four. That would be even better, I guess.
Mini version of the HPR for your talk edition. Yes.
Yes. Yes, indeed. So that's a good plan. And all of a sudden, there is a Cecile listening in.
Listening.
Listening. Definitely not talking, right?
Not much.
No. Oh, and by the way, at half past midnight, there is a television show that will last for 2 hours or 1.5 hours, just how much alcohol we can stand, and have a good time. And meanwhile, Sopper is repairing the heavily damaged studio, so it must all be a lot of misery. I think it's time for a little bit more Gogo Bordello.
It's time for the Gogo Bordello tribute show.
Yes.
With some security news.
Yes.
Okay, let's go.
Kut.
Dan kun je niet bellen.
Als in... ik zou een interview hebben met Karel Slot.
Wie?
Met Karel Slot.
Oh ja.
Maar die krijg je niet echt te pakken.
Ik krijg hem niet online.
Nee. Ik heb ook geen gewoon telefoonnummer, anders zou ik gewoon bellen.
Heeft Anne dat ook niet?
Ja.
Krijg je Zwitserse post niet even?
Wat zeg je?
Krijg je Zwitserse post.
Dat goed.
Hey Brenno. Is het misschien een idee als ik gewoon deze hele show pak en daar de liedjes eruit tik en dat gebruik als...
Ja, maar de rest is nog niet zo van de kwaliteit dat je zegt van dit is inhoudelijk...
dit is echt de improvisatie alom...
Mensen zijn moe, mensen zijn...
Ik krijg ook niemand meer te pakken. Ik vind niet, ik loop de hele tijd. Als ik iemand wil vinden, dan kijk ik op een gegeven moment rond. Dan zie ik een schim ergens aan het hele andere eind van het ding is. En dan ga je weer die kant op en dan is het precies het omgekeerde gebeurd.
Anne vroeg trouwens of ik heb, of jij pist was op mij.
Hè?
Ja, ik zei van ja, ze stond gewoon niet meer te praten. Ik zei nou, dat doen ze nog wel veel meer. Heb jij het nummer van Karel misschien? Een telefoonnummer?
Nee.
Wat heb... Want dan bel ik hem gewoon op zijn mobiel vanaf hier.
Zou Nick het misschien hebben? Want die staat daar verderop ergens.
Wie?
Nick dan.
Nee, Nick kent hem niet.
Nee hoor.
Hij is huishoudelijk werk aan doen.
Ik zou zeggen, begin gewoon om 30:30 met je vragen.
Maar,
4:30?
Proberen om die Soulette Dreyfus van het...
Ik had me gemaild. Ze moest op de kinderen passen. Dat was nu het excuus. Ik heb haar teruggemaild dat ze nog steeds welkom is vanavond.
Soulette?
Ja.
Oké.
Ze heeft ze blijkbaar te hebben gemaild.
Ja.
Maar ik heb slechts 843 niet gelezen mailtjes. Dus dat is een beetje problematisch.
Ja. Oké.
Ja. Heb jij de jingle van Hacker Public Radio?
Ja, die heb ik. Die staat zelfs al klaar.
Oh, wat goed.
Maar,
dan doe ik eerst even de Early Morning Breakfast Show. En dan daarnaast zet je gewoon die jingle van hoe heet het in.
Ja.
Nido. Doe alleen wat... Wat moet, hè? Je hoeft niet te gaan rekken en het langer te maken om iets te vullen. Dan gaat gewoon daarna met de muziek in en dan hebben we gewoon weer lol.
Ja, oké. Welke vraag zal ik vragen om te beginnen? Zal ik gewoon vragen hoe je talk is gegaan en dat we dan op grond daarvan een beetje doorlullen?
Ja. Anne?
Gaan we redden. Ik bel ze straks wel terug.
Anne, kom eens heel even.
Maar zal ik nog wat minst proberen te produceren? Of is dat
dat zou één of twee zou nog wel leuk zijn.
We hebben een nieuw liedje, sorry.
Oh. Sorry.
Wat moet ik er even doen? Ik wil jingle doen.
Ja, volgens mij wel, ja. Ik denk dat er ook nog een bepaalde staat bij aanwezig is. Let op de geen aanheffen, geen einde en zo. Eén zin. Ja, grappig. Ja, 00:30. Daarvoor is niks.
Niks?
Nee.
Ja, lekker de avond vrij.
Ja, dat gaat heel boeiend worden volgens mij. Maar goed, weet je, als het heel erg tegenvalt, dan kappen we gewoon na één ronde. Dan,
en dan halen we de visuals eraf en dan gaan we hier verder. Dat zijn ze wel gewend.
Oh, dit is trouwens een heel mooi nummer, vind ik zelf.
Hm?
Nee.
Heb je die nog gevraagd?
Ja, die heb ik wel gevraagd, maar die moet ik het helpen herinneren.
Ja, ja.
Waarom ben je in een bepaalde staat, zeg maar. Dus Emmanuel die zei dus zo... you gotta remind me, I guess.
Kyle.
Nee, Emmanuel zei dat. Ja. Ik zei ook van, how are you doing? Oh nee, how is life, zei ik. Zei hij, well, better than the alternative.
Dat is een hele goeie op zich.
Ja. Yo. Okay.
Hey.
Je maakt je eigen wupjes?
Ja.
Daar kwam ik op een gegeven moment achter. Hè? Gewoon als je gewoon met zo'n slider gewoon zo doet, dan maak je gewoon wups.
Oh.
Gewoon een sinus. Ja. Zo simpel is het.
Dag pas.
Die orga ben je wel officieel?
Wat zeg je?
Orga ben je wel officieel?
Oh. Oh.
Ja? Nee, heb ik niet.
Jawel.
Wat stoer.
Shaker. Thanks.
Twintig seconden tot de jingle.
Begin jij of begin ik?
Doe ik hem wel. Okay, still no context to both of the parties, so we are going to do a very interesting experiment, because you are listening to the early morning radio show, but that is going to be taken over by Nido with Hacker Public Radio.
Hello! Yes, hello, welcome here to the early morning edition. Hello, and welcome here to the early morning edition to Hacker Public Radio live at OHM 2013. I'm here, I'm Nido Media, and I'm here with Brenno de Winter. Brenno de Winter, hello. You are here on the event as a volunteer.
Yes.
You're also here on the event as one of the core organizers. You're even one of the press relations here, just as I am with the Hacker Public Radio. And
But the reason why I wanted to talk to you for a moment is because you also are one of the speakers here.
Yeah, it's just pick a wristband and go right ahead.
At the moment, you're even the police force of 4 years ago, and you're here for just one day. But let's forget that for a moment. Let's talk a bit about your talk, which you had last Friday, right?
Yes, indeed. Last Friday I spoke about censorship in the Netherlands. And things that the Dutch system will do to you at the moment when you are basically expressing yourself in a way that the Dutch government just doesn't like. If you're critical or if you show shortcomings, they will come after you.
Shortcomings?
Well, for instance, take a journalist like Alberto Stegeman. He is an investigative journalist and... he got prosecuted for showing that the Dutch airport Schiphol is very unsafe and he could get access to the plane of the Queen. Instead of saying thank you, or the way of saying thank you was, he got prosecuted. Then there was an appeal, he was acquitted. Then they took a tiny little detail of the case to the Supreme Court for more clarification, and that tiny part of the case has to be redone. Now in appeal. Now this all happened in 2007, so just imagine how long he is down the road with this whole story and how much money it will cost you in lawyer fees, etc. Basically for nothing more than showing that the International Airport Schiphol is not a safe airport.
It's very interesting. I've heard about this case from, if I'm mistaken, please correct me, but from what I heard, what he did was he walked up to the... He found out through various means, mostly the internet, where the plane was located, and then he basically just walked there, put his hand on it, made a picture, and walked away.
He filmed there actually. He had actually hit a camera there, and the thing, he got onto the airport with a fake badge, a fake ID card belonging to the airport, I believe to KLM. Mm-hmm. And basically nothing was checked. So when his colleague was driving with the fake KLM card, which was not his, he was in the back of the car in the trunk. And they didn't bother to check. And he found it out by consistent observation of the airport and how they didn't do their job. With all the observations, nobody bothered to come to him. So the airport here was at fault. Where we have to, you know, go through these draconian measures. He just got into the airport and then he got prosecuted ultimately.
Yes.
I got prosecuted myself for showing that the Dutch transportation card wasn't safe. For 4 years I've been doing research, writing many articles also that the Dutch state was lied to by the company that builds this card, and they made all sorts of promises when it turned out that the card could be hacked. They made all sorts of promises, and they were all lies. They were simply not true. And I showed it. And when I did that, at that point, basically I was told to come to the police and was facing 6 years in prison for me as a journalist doing my work. So...
Yes. What did they charge you with, if I may ask?
They charged me with hacking. And they charged me with having tools to hack. And they charged me with manipulating a value card. Ultimately, to my aid came the European Court of Human Rights, because they had earlier verdicts that forbid the state to prosecute the journalists under certain conditions. And then... under certain conditions, and then basically that was the end of the case. So I never had to go to court, but Stegeman did. Henk Krol, a digital illiterate person who is member of parliament but is also a journalist, showed that a medical system was failing and it was showing medical information, and it was only protected with 5 numbers, and the password were the same 5 numbers. And then the public prosecutor called that top-notch security.
So a 5-number PIN card is a top-notch security system in the Netherlands now?
For the public prosecutor's office, apparently it is. And they thought that there was not a reason to hack the system. The court disagreed, but he hacked the system twice to show to a television system, and he was convicted for the second hack, not the first hack, but for the second hack.
So the time when he went to the broadcasting stations and he said, like, I can do this and it works like that, and yep. Then when they had the camera on it,
he should have gotten the camera in the first place. So it's a strange case, and there was room for appeal, definitely. He was clumsy, but my point is, why would you bother to go after him? Why would you do that? It's just not it is not relevant enough.
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm afraid I can't really give you an answer which would satisfy you in that regard.
No, and it sends the signal that if you find a bug in a system and you go public or you approach somebody, that the public prosecutor will say thank you by ruining your life. If you're convicted in the Netherlands, you will not be able to do a lot of jobs. You need a certain declaration of no obstruction, and a criminal conviction would definitely be one of those obstructions. So you ruin a lot of people's lives, and especially if you look at hackers, many of them are young people. Mm-hmm. They make little mistakes. They are sometimes a little bit too wild, and when you go with the full force of the government, and I stopped calling government but state, then basically you send out the wrong signal. Don't talk about this. To me, it's freedom of speech. Showing something that is not correct is part of freedom of speech. And I'm not the only one with this opinion. Also, the International Court of Human or the European Court of Human Rights sides with that vision. So it's strange not to let these youngsters do their thing and applaud it, you know. And even if they make small mistakes, be a little bit more forgiving, you know. They do it in good faith, with good intentions. But don't be too negative about it. That's one of the things that I said. And the other thing is, they did try to make a process called responsible disclosure.
Mm-hmm.
And responsible disclosure, and I believe you've talked about this on other talked about this in other episodes. But
yes, yeah, there's probably an episode or I will make sure there will be one on a later time.
But responsible disclosure basically means that you can go to a company or to an organization, say like, okay, this and this is your problem, and this and this is how I found it out. And they may agree not to press charges against you. That's basically what the document states. And then they give some guidelines where you should be looking at. And one of the things is you cannot try something multiple times. One of the other things you cannot do is social engineering or brute force attacking. And the strange thing is that those technologies are really, or techniques more, are really needed to basically, you know, show that there's something wrong.
They are the basic forms of attack most of the times. And brute force attack, that is the reason why everybody's telling you don't use short passwords, because a hacker or a cracker, somebody who wants to get into your account, well, he can just try it a gajillion times. It doesn't matter to him. He has the resources, and he just needs to wait until he has guessed the right password, and you can get it. And that's one of the biggest problems within security. Of course, there are systems which are hardened against such kinds of attacks. There are techniques you can do to protect against those kinds of attack vectors. But I must agree with you; they're seldom in use.
And now comes the worst part of this document. It is totally voluntarily, so there's no guarantee that things in practice will work this way. And even if a company says, I'll stick to the responsible disclosure agreement, the Justice Department may still come after you. So you might still end up in prison, even if you show a data leak. And it's not me saying this, the public prosecutor rushed to Twitter to announce that. So it's been announced that they will come after the good willing hacker. And they need to do so because their statistics on how they fight cybercrime are not really that good. And in major cases, you see them fail.
So what was that bling?
Oh, that's my Facebook, and hopefully it's a response of one of the speakers that we want to talk to later on. But let's stick to the Hacker Public Radio first.
I'm like, what's that? Okay, no problem. To go back a bit, what you mentioned earlier, you yourself had hacked the OV chip card. And you told me you had a conviction, or not a conviction.
Yeah, they dropped the
charge. A charge. But one of the charges was hacking.
Uh huh.
Can you tell me what a charge of hacking means in the Netherlands? Because we had a few weeks ago on the Hacker Public Radio, we had a discussion about what actually is hacking, and we were there for, I believe, 2 hours. And we agreed that we can't really give you a definition which counts for hacking in general, but we could only get something which counted for the Hacker Public Radio group. So we're not even sure of what hacking means within the community at large. What does a charge of hacking mean?
It's manipulating a system in the way it was not intended to, basically. And the system is anything that basically has a microcontroller in it at this point. They want to make it even broader. So that's the creepy part. They want to even go further than this. But so far it's basically anything. So for instance, let me give you an example.
Please.
If you read the text of the law well, and you take a cell phone, you're filming on the street. A policeman comes by, and this happens sometimes in the Netherlands. And the policeman picks up your phone, stops the filming, and deletes the filming. That would be hacking already. Because he's manipulating the device in a way that I didn't want him to do that.
So you would be the one who was hacking in that particular case?
The policeman would be hacking.
Oh, okay. Since you brought in the policeman, I was just making sure.
Just to show how extreme the Dutch law is. It's people think of the Netherlands as a pretty liberal nation, and I tend to disagree with them. It's a very broad definition. So basically, with anything with a microprocessor, if somebody shouts, "I don't want that," that would be hacking. And I one time had somebody who wanted to pick my cell phone when they discovered I was filming something they shouldn't be doing. And then when he grabbed my phone, that would be theft with violence. That would be good for up to 12 years in prison, by the way, but let's not talk about that. Then his finger went to the camera, and I said to him, "If you are going to touch this camera, I will press charges." Because you're hacking then. And the guy got so afraid that he left the camera with the face up. So every time when he was moving over it, you could see his face, and I had perfect evidence of what he did and he shouldn't have been doing, etc. So that's pretty funny. So it's a very broad definition. So you're easily violating this. What I did was basically manipulate the system where the card had the chip in it.
Mm-hmm. There's the OV chip card. Let's go a bit into the OV chip card. What's the deal with the OV chip card? We've done a bit about it, but let's do this the fast version. What can you do with the OV chip card?
It's a public transportation card similar to the one being used in London, and basically the same as being used in Boston a couple of years ago, and I believe BART in San Francisco uses the same. It's a MiFi Classic chip that has been cracked already in 2008. Politicians were, as usual, techno-optimists, so totally in denial of the problem, but very aggressive moving forward with the project. And at a certain point, there was this hearing in Parliament where a professor of digital security said, "This is basically an open wallet." And then the politicians that invited him called him overly negative. So there you have it. You know, it's kind of strange. And at that point, I decided there will be a day that I will be traveling on this hacked cart. And I did so in 2011 when there was already one criminal case of somebody who did it. And there was also software available for Windows that made it very easy to do so. So what I started to do, I hacked a transportation card by basically...
Could you describe the process rather than say to I hacked? Because
it's very simple. The steps what I did was I bought a card, I put €5 on it legally.
Mm-hmm.
Basically you place it on a RFID... I call it RFID.
My fair?
It is RFID. I'm getting tired here at home, I guess. And then you try. The thing is, with the card, you have to authenticate against the card. So the card will tell you if you had the correct one, the correct code or not. So not the card is authenticating again towards the system, but it's the other way around. So you can try indefinitely all combinations. And that's what the system basically does. And because of many flaws, this process doesn't take more than 45 minutes, and then you get all keys that are on this card. It's a 4K card with, I believe, 20 keys, and those are called A keys, and 20 B keys. And the B keys are for writing, and the A keys are for reading. And as every IT person knows, that's a stupid difference, because if you want to write, you have to be able to read.
Yes.
So well, I found that out, and then I realized, okay, I only need half of the... So the software was open source, so with a small adjustment, that worked for me as well. And then at a certain point, I started basically traveling on it by changing the value on the card. And then I realized when I was doing that, I don't want to change the value.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm in the train, for instance, I want the train conductor to believe that I checked in.
Yes.
Because you need to check in, and then at the end you check out, and then the system will calculate how much money you have to pay.
Yes, and of course half of the time the polls don't work, so you need to check in, except you can't. So you need to go to the next station, then you need to run out of the train, go all the way to the entrance of the station, bleep your card, and then go back. And then maybe if you're lucky, then he says, okay, it's okay.
Exactly, it's a hassle.
Yes.
And
so how did you fix that problem?
I altered the state of the card where I was not checked in to I am checked in.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're checked in, the train conductor won't look any further. So
okay, so it's basically a binary value. I'm inside the system.
No, it's more than a binary value, because you also have to add the train station, that's a code, and the time that you checked in. Well, I made with friends, I made a little program to do so.
Mm-hmm.
Put that on the card and let the train conductor have his way. He thought that I checked in. I knew I didn't. So basically, there you have it. And the whole system basically fell apart on that. Now, then I went public with the story, and I did it in two ways. First, I thought that I could change the value of money on the card.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a big bang. This was opening of all the news. Everybody was talking about it. I was in Amsterdam, got on a tram. The tram conductor wouldn't let the tram drive before he could shake my hands to thank me. People were crazy. And there was this emergency debate in parliament that would take place 2 weeks later. Then the following morning I came, like, why would I check in if I can check myself in? And I showed that on television.
Mm-hmm.
And now the debate was moved backwards to the day after. So that was on Thursday. And the funny thing was, a debate about the war in Afghanistan was moved aside for this debate. They were that nervous. So they talked about it, they decided not to introduce the card, and then later on they decided, okay, we'll move ahead because the chance that people are abusing it is really slow. Now, the interesting thing to know is that the card readers, within 2 days, were sold out in the entire Western Europe hemisphere and parts of the US. So, and then the politicians were like, well, we don't know if people are abusing the floors because the software was really out there. You know, I had more advanced software because of little changes that you made for one part. But in general, you know, if you were a little bit patient, could wait for 45 minutes, then basically you have a cracked card.
And a cracked card basically means you have control over how much money is on the card and whether you are checked in, where you checked in, and at what time.
Yes. And one of the a friend of mine, without telling me, when he realized that the debate had moved to the day after, he was with somebody in the pub. And they said, like, okay, they don't get the real issue here. This is the criminal business case where people can abuse it. So what they did, they made a website called overchipcarddiscounter.nl. And they made a fake and phony web shop where you could order cards. And then somebody tweeted me, hey, Breno, have you seen this? During the debate. So I was like, what the fuck? And I hadn't got the time. And it was, at a certain point, I realized, okay, this is fake. So I wanted to tell this to a member of parliament that was standing by me. And he said, like, what is this? So I thought, like, okay, it's a good joke. So I said, like, well, this is the first web shop abusing the... And he went like, I want to speak to the minister right now again. And there was more debate. And then the 8 o'clock news opened with it. And 24 hours earlier, this whole website had never been thought of. And now the joke was ready. And it was opening of the 8 o'clock news. So you on one hand, it showed the tension. On the other hand, all of a sudden, it made very explicit what the problem is at hand. Mm-hmm. And what I was fighting. But then... politicians do what politicians do, so they start to belittle the issue. So at a certain point, the company behind the card said, like, yeah, but it's a very complex hack to execute. And I was at this television station and said, like, it's bullshit. You know, even an old person can do it without any computer experience. You know, if you're digital illiterate, you can do it. So then the owner of this public network said, well, you know, take a reporter, show it. So we went to an old folks home, find somebody who was very old, didn't know jack shit about computers, and he hacked one of the cards and traveled on it. So we showed it again. And then we showed a bug in the teller machines that where you can charge the cards at the Dutch railway station, and it would crash with a certain setting, a buffer overflow. So
buffer overflows.
I phoned the Dutch railways and at first they wouldn't believe me again. So I went like, okay, I'll show you. And then I just shut down the entire train station of Utrecht Central. So they had to restart it. And as soon as they restarted the machines again, I would shut them down again. And then they went like, sorry, we believe you now. But of course it was very funny imagery on television when you see people like totally... So... that drove the point home, and at that point an investigation was started. It found out that the company had too much power in the system, things should have been done differently, and